This is an amazing church. Wow. Spirit of God just rests upon this work here. Pastor Kathy, I just bless you. Thank you for inviting us to come and to be with you this week. I love what you carry. Last night I saw the lioness come out like I haven't seen and experienced with you. It's been so wonderful walking with you in the last few years. With Bethel Leaders Network and our connection there. So thank you again. I honor you. You guys are blessed, amen, to have such a great pastor. Thank you. Thanks to your amazing staff, and Matt and Rachel, and Max and Thea. You guys are, and the rest of the staff, you guys are just powerful and in pursuit of the King of Kings. And I just really appreciate that. You can feel that when we're together. And it just feels like, you know, when it feels like family. And I'm so grateful to be able to walk into an environment like that because it puts me at ease. I'm typically, you know, trying to feel out. You know how it is when you get amongst great leaders. You wonder whether you're going to be a lion in a den of Daniels. Or whether you're going to be just welcomed and be part of a team, let's just say. So thank you again for inviting us. John, just bless you, man. Thanks for all that God's doing in your life. I had a word for you, actually, this morning when I was praying. I felt like the Lord said that he's highlighting your faithfulness, and he has seen your faithfulness. And there's a scripture, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 4, apologize for not having that address, but it talks about how that it's important for a servant to be faithful. And I just wanted to declare this publicly. He's seen your faithfulness, and he's rewarding you in this season. And so, wow, he rewarded you with an amazing wife now. And I just recognize you as a great father as well in the faith, so. Thank you. It's been a blessing to meet you. Yeah, come on. Dr. Leon, this has been, I mean, God has taken me places in the messages that you've preached that I haven't gone before. And I've visited places that I've been a long time ago, and God has rekindled a fire on the inside of me. I'm telling you, I haven't gotten the opportunity to spend a lot of time. We had dinner last night. It was a wonderful time. But honestly, each time that we've been together, I've thought, I think I know what Timothy felt like when he was with the Apostle Paul. And it was like you just want to just hush and not say anything and just listen. And just thank you for what you carry. I thank you for the humility that you possess. What you're bringing to the body of Christ, I think is about to be unveiled. I honestly know that your reach is wide, and your humility has placed you in a position where I feel like that you can be trusted with even a wider platform. And you've had a wide one, but you're only, I think you mentioned your age. You mind if I mention your age? You're only 72. You know, you're not even where Abraham was, you know, when he got started. So I'm excited to get to know you, and I'm planning on running with you for years to come now. And so I'm so glad. Why don't we stand together? Give honor. Thank you. Can I turn it up? Oh, move it up? Yeah. Got to get this microphone up here. Hey, can we give a big shout and praise to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! to make sure my computer can get these notes up here. Welcome to all of you that are online. My precious bride is tuned in this morning from Florida as well. So love you, dear. Oh, there we go. Yeah. What an honor again to share the Word of God with you. I thought I'd begin this morning with maybe a couple of testimonies. You know, we overcome him, the enemy. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives even unto death. You know, we're learning about that third part. How to love your life. How to not love your life even unto death. And but the word of our testimony actually is, and the Bible says that, and Dr. Leon reminded us as well with his message on faith last night. Classic message, by the way. Classic message. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And did you know that you are a living epistle? That your life actually carries the power of the word of God. You are a testimony, and your testimony is a reflection of the goodness and the greatness of the God you serve and love that you've given his life to. So let me just say, your testimony from the time you gave your life to Jesus all the way up until this morning is a living epistle to be known and to be spoken and to reveal the glory of God through what he's doing in your life. Do not underestimate the power of what God is doing in your life, has done, but also the plan that he has for you in the future. So I just want to encourage you with testimony. It's powerful. The devil hates your testimony. So if you haven't given it in a while, he's happy about that. But let's make him a little bit nervous, and let's bring out your testimony, dust it off. And when God does something in your life, tell somebody, release it. Because what happens is faith comes into their heart. And what he did for others, he'll do it again. He'll do it for what he did for you, he'll do for others. And when you share your testimony, obviously that encourages them. So, first testimony I wanted to share has to do with when we were in Maine. Last year we were in Maine and we were sharing at an amazing church there, Living Waters Church in Buxton, Maine. And we gave a simple invitation for those who maybe had, you know, sicknesses or even hopeless diseases, had gotten a report from the doctor, a diagnosis that, you know, there's nothing that we can do about this. And a lady responded, and she had what's known as Huntington's disease. You know what Huntington's disease is? A terrible nervous system type of disease. There is no cure. It's hereditary. And so she was suffering from that. She was actually had tremors when she came up to pray. So we just simply prayed for her, prayed the prayer of faith over her, and, you know, and moved on. Well, it was just a few weeks later that we'd gotten a note from her. She said, at that time in prayer, just after that, her tremors stopped. And she was beginning to feel the, the symptoms of the blood of Jesus in her body. But she started feeling better, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor tested her and came back with the report and said, we can't find Huntington's disease in your body any longer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. if there's anybody that's gotten a report from a doctor that says, oh, there's no cure for this, I think right now would be an apropos time for you to stand, because I feel like God wants to release what he did for her, he'll do for you. Is there anybody that has that and has the courage? You know, it takes courage to serve God. It takes courage to grab onto, thank you, to grab onto the report of the Lord. So if you're dealing with a diagnosis, thank you for standing. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Thank you, ma'am. Are you standing as well? Two back here? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, prayer team. You are the prayer team, by the way. Everybody here is part of the prayer team. I want you to surround these folks, this lady back in the back, to lift your hand if you stood up for prayer. Lift your hand. All right. Now, real quickly, I want the person who's dealing with the issue in their body, I want you just to say what it is. Don't go into the history of it. Just say what the diagnosis is. And then those that are around you, we're going to give you about 2 minutes max. We're going to give you like 2 minutes to pray in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you, if you're not actually praying in English, pray in tongues. And then somebody just curse that thing to the root, and then release the health and healing of God. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you, Jesus. Good things are happening. Good things are happening right now. Good things are happening. Thank you, Lord. If you're online, begin to pray in tongues. Shakarabasa tarabasi kiatarabasa. Shakarabasa tarabasa. Shadananalabasa tarabasa tarabasi. Buramandorobo karabasa tarabasa. Singeregiri bikiotoroboso turbo. All right. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. Power of God's been released. Power of God's been released. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Good things are happening. Good things are happening. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. More Jesus. More Jesus. You're the healer. You're the healer. You're the healer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's begin to wind it up now. Thank you, Lord. Woo! The work. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so good, so good. I would also like to ask, if you had symptoms in your body and you could actually test those symptoms and to see if they've reduced or actually disappeared, would you do that right now? And if you've had a significant change, just wave your hand like that. We'll get another bit of testimony. Okay, we're going to get another testimony. Whoa, come on. All right. Tell us what happened. What happened?
So I had a ruptured disc. They did ruptured surgery. Disc. There was not much of cartilage or disc left after they did surgery because there was chunks adhering to my spine. This was 10 years ago. I had a measure of healing afterwards because I'd get lots of prayer. But I've always had like this little lingering neuropathy and pain, like shooting sciatica, you know, what goes down right. Your rear.
Yeah! Come on! Come on, Lori.
Woo. Leg. It felt like icy hot going into my back and all the way down my leg.
Come on.
Like I am touching my toes even.
Come on! Wow. 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 Everybody say wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Sorry. Oh, don't you love the testimony? Don't you love that Jesus loves to heal? He loves to heal. Wow. He loves when you talk about him. We were in Uzbekistan this year, and Uzbekistan is a former communist Russian country, former USSR block country, and so we went there, and it's becoming more and more free all the time, but the majority of the population is Muslim, and we got an opportunity to share the gospel there. We were there, I think 16, 17 days, I believe, and we went to seven different countries, four different conferences that we did, but in this one conference, we took a trip out into the desert, actually, to go to a group, a small church out in the desert, and it was just a community, a little village out there, and we met with the leadership, we began to pray for the sick, and one of the leaders of the church, who was actually owned the house there that we were meeting in, she went out into the streets and began to invite her Muslim neighbors to come because Jesus had come. That's what she said. She said, Jesus has come, the Holy Spirit is at our house, and he's healing people. So I was in a separate room praying for people, and then these two Muslim ladies come up, and they're standing at the doorway, and they're very kind of nervous looking, and just observing, and so they came in, sat down, and I prayed for them, asked them, did they have pain, and they said both of them had leg pain, and so I prayed for one, she got healed, the pain totally went away for her. Prayed for the next lady, same thing, pain totally went away, had them check it, make sure, are you sure it's all gone? Yes, yes. I said, well, listen, the same Jesus who healed you wants to forgive you of all your sin, wants to come into your life and live with you the rest of your life. Are you interested in that? And the one lady actually said, yes, I want that. And so we just simply bowed our heads, prayed together, she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And here's the conclusion. I think that Muslims really don't like their religion that much. Nobody likes religion, period. I don't even like, yeah. At any rate. But when they hear about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them, they come alive on the inside. And I think I'm bringing that story to you this morning saying, listen, when you simply, I think we've created a mindset that says, I don't think people want to hear about Jesus. You know, that's just not true. Every person on earth has a part on the inside of them that says when they hear the gospel, they come alive. On the outside, they might react a certain way, but on the inside, their spirit man is saying, this is truth. Holy Spirit bearing witness, this is for you. Receive this today. So at any rate, wanted to share that with you as well. So share your story. All right. So Pastor Kathy said I had to be done by 1:30, right? Yeah. Kathy, that's right. Okay, so buckle up. No, I'm actually going to be brief here. I said this yesterday that just because our message is eternal doesn't mean it has to be everlasting, right? I heard that from Don Storiano, dear friend in Florida. Well, what I wanted to do was share a message with you this morning that I've entitled Radically Favored Sons and Daughters. Radically favored sons and daughters. I believe that God has revealing truth in this day that's really helping us to be able to step into the fullness of who God has created us to be. I was sharing with Dr. Leon this morning about how that, you know, 2 Peter talks about that we've received that everything that pertains to life and godliness has been deposited on the inside of us. I want you to think about that for a moment. Everything that pertains to life, what it means to live here on the earth and be full of the life of God, everything that pertains to life and to godliness, that is to live in a godly manner, live a godly life, everything has been deposited on the inside of us. Everything that Jesus had, I know you've heard this before, but I want you to really zero in. Use your faith this morning. Zero in on this truth. Everything that Jesus had, he died to get deposited on the inside of you. You're not lacking in anything. Now, the gap is that we don't actually know about everything that he's deposited on the inside of us. That's why we have teaching. That's why we have conferences. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God continually, because God is continuously revealing to us all that he did on that day when you said yes to Jesus. And the narratives that we've been running through our mind about who we are not is a big part of why we don't progress in our understanding of just everything that we've received. That narrative holds us back. It limits us. The only thing that can limit you in your life is you. He's given you access, he's given you unfettered, unlimited access to everything he has. So what we're going to talk about this morning is just what are some of those things that we have access to? What actually are some of the keys to being able to live in the fullness of what God has given us and deposited on the inside of us? And to live as radically favored sons and daughters of his. Let's pray. So Lord, our hearts are open this morning. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open to be renewed. To be renewed in your spirit to who we are as sons and daughters of yours. We acknowledge this morning that Jesus, you paid it all. And it was more than enough to empower us to walk into the fullness of who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God said through the prophet Habakkuk, he said this, he said, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now I felt like the Lord said to me, did you know that's already taken place? That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord has covered the earth. There's there's very few people that are left that have never heard of Jesus, but their area has been affected by and has been introduced to the glory of the Lord. So, and you know, I don't know what else to say other than the glory of the Lord has covered the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord has covered the earth. Now, getting access to that knowledge, okay, let's go. Missions organizations, great missions organizations like Overland Missions is doing the work of reaching the people. Dear friends in Angola, Dave and Fiona, they are reaching the Mukabai tribes that they have to drive for hours and hours and hours to reach them. They're a nomadic tribe, but they're reaching them with the gospel. So thank God for the outreach that's going on through great mission organizations like Overland Missions. But the whole idea here to begin with is to say that's the heart of God. That's what God has given us as our mandate, is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ out and reach those who are not yet his sons and daughters, right? And so a lot of what I want to share this morning is for the purpose of reaching out to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, and beyond. And he's empowered you to do it. He actually has a plan for you to do it. And it's going to be a successful plan. So this glory of God was seen upon Jesus. And in John chapter 1, in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh." We'll talk a little bit more about that. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the glory of God was seen upon Jesus, right? Amen. Jesus came to reveal the Father. I want you to think about this, okay? Jesus has come. He's born as a child. He grows up. The Bible says that he increased in wisdom and stature. That means he had to grow. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in stature. And he had to grow in favor with God and with man. In other words, there began to be a process in Jesus' life, much like the process that you're going through. Because Jesus came to the earth as the Son of God, but he came to be the Son of Man. His favorite term for himself was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, 100% the Son of God. He was co-eternal, co-creator, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. But when he came to earth as a baby, listen, he laid aside his deity, privilege, and power to become a man just like you and just like me. But to live the life that Adam, the first Adam, couldn't live, failed to live. Jesus came as a man to completely fulfill the dream of God for mankind. Now, I don't want to move too fast here. But Jesus came to reveal to us a new type of creation that was about to be birthed in the earth. Up until that time, there had been no one that had lived with the Spirit of God on the inside of him, that was had God living in him. They were all living, God was living outside of them. He chose Israel to come and to manifest himself to them, but he was not in them. There was no man that had God in them, okay? And he would come and he would visit them at different seasons. It was a time of visitation from the Lord. But through Christ, he has created now a time of habitation of the Lord. He's coming to live on the inside of us. So Jesus began to show us the glory by revealing his Father. Israel didn't do that great of a job of revealing, you know, as a nation. They just didn't do as great of a job of revealing the nature of God. And God had to actually deal with them to preserve the coming of the Messiah. He had to deal with them very severely. It's interesting when you look at the history of Israel from that perspective. But he did choose Israel to bring the Messiah into Messiah Jesus Christ into the earth. Jesus said in John 14:9, he says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus began to show us something I think it's important for us to realize in our experience here. And I want to read in John chapter 5 here a few verses. I want to read John chapter 5, an amazing thing has happened here. Jesus has healed someone, a man, at the pool of Bethesda. The problem was he did it on the wrong day. And so he stirred up the Pharisees. He stirred up the religious. Amen. But I want us to read, and so this has just taken place, and in John 5:16, it says, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them. So the context of what we're about to read is that Jesus is talking to Pharisees who want to kill him. This is how he deals with people that want to kill him. He says, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So he's linking himself to the Father, releasing this work in the earth. He's doing this work in the earth. And he's revealing the Father by doing that. So he goes on in verse 19 and he says this, and Jesus answered and said to them, he said, most assuredly I say to you that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Now, I think that's a very significant statement for Jesus, the Son of God, to make. I can of my own self do nothing. Now, I want to interpret that a little bit, but I want to go ahead and read the rest of this. He says, most assuredly, I say to you that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. And whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So two things here. Number one is that he's saying, I'm a man, I cannot do anything actually other than what my Father shows me. Okay, so what he's saying is there's a limitation on me as a man. Now men cannot walk on water. Men cannot raise the dead. Men cannot multiply loaves and fishes. Jesus is saying, I can't do that as a man. But he's not just a man. Now, he is the Son of Man He's actually the Son of God, but remember, he laid aside his deity power, because with his deity power, he could easily walk on water. He could easily multiply loaves and fishes. He could raise the dead. But he says, I've laid that aside, and I can't do anything except what I see my Father doing. Jesus had a screen on the inside of him, just like you do. When you close your eyes, you don't stop seeing. There's a screen inside of there. And I will submit to you this, that one day, the Father showed him a picture on the inside of him walking on the water. And I'm sure Jesus went, never done that before. This is going to be fun. So he told the disciples, go ahead. They went on out, and sure enough, Jesus steps out of the boat, walks on the water. Men cannot walk on the water. But when the Father says, this is what we're doing today, even what is impossible now not only looks probable, but it is a foregone conclusion if we'll believe. Because nothing is impossible to those who believe. One of the interesting thing about that story is that when Jesus got to the boat, Peter said, hey, men can't walk on water. Bid me come to you on the water. Jesus said, again, saw on the screen, Peter can walk on the water. Okay, let's do this. Come. Gets out of the boat, begins to walk on the water at the word of Jesus. Now he sank when he began to see the circumstances and go, men can't walk on water, what am I doing? But Jesus reached down, pulled him up. My point in saying all of that is this, that we're in the situation, guys, just like Jesus was. He was the Son of Man. We are sons and daughters of men. We were born in the likeness of Adam, but we're born again in the likeness of Jesus. Born again in the likeness of God. Amen. So I hope that you're starting to get a vision here of, wow. So let's go a little bit further in chapter 5, and then we want to go to chapter 14 in John. Now verse 26 says this, for as the Father has let, remember he's still talking to the Pharisees who want to kill him, says, the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. In verse 27, and has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. I think that's interesting that he said Son of Man there, because one of the things that we understand about God is that he doesn't want to do this by himself. He wants to co-labor with us. We can't do it by ourselves because we are men. And he doesn't want to do it by himself because that's not his plan. Because if he wanted to do it by himself, it'd be done by now. But he says, I'm co-laboring with you, so the Son of Man, he says. Okay, and that had to do with judgment. So, you know, that should give you a little bit of an idea that, at some point I'm going to have to be able to judge rightly and judge correctly and judge for him when he shows me something that needs to be judged. Amen? All right, and then finally verse 30 says this, I can of my own self, he says, I can of myself do nothing as I hear I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Okay, so now he says, now I'm hearing things, I'm seeing things, and I'm hearing things, and that's how I'm functioning, that's how I'm operating, that's how I'm able to do things. I believe that even, I said that he saw Peter walking on the water on the screen. I think he heard that one. Actually heard God say, tell him, come. And so he said, come. Peter walked on the water. Okay. Now let's go over to chapter 14. And now Jesus is talking to his disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I like that. All right. Let's see. Chapter 14. Let's look at verse 10. Again, he's revealing the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But verse 10, he says this. Do you not, now, context, Philip had asked, show us the Father. And he says, Philip, actually, we'll just read that. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, it'd be sufficient for us. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? Folks, this is the key to Jesus' life and the power that he carried in his life. The key is that it's the Father that's in me, and I'm in the Father. That's two separate things, by the way. They're together, but they're separate. You with me? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. The works. Verse 11. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, he's saying, men can't do these works that I'm doing. Look at the works. If you don't believe that the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, look at the works. They testify that he's in me and I'm in him. Now, down in verse 19, he says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Now, I love verse 20 because he says, all right, I'm going to give you a little peek into the future, guys. He says, in that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, and you in me. And I in you. You know the best thing about you? Jesus is in you, and you're in him. That's not going to change. That's the way it is. So whatever he asks you to do, you can't do. Except for whatever he says you can do. Whatever he shows you, whatever he says to you, you can do it. Now, I have a question for you. Do you believe that? Thank you. You three are going to take the world. Do you believe that?
Yes!
It's the truth. It's a beautiful truth, isn't it? All right, so now I want to take you over to, let's see, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Wait a minute. I thought that was just Jesus. No, no. Remember, he said the Father's in him. He's in the Father. So when Jesus comes in, who else comes in? The Father. He He who doesn't love me and doesn't keep my word, and the word, sorry, he who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who's in me. Some of the things that Dr. Leon was saying Friday and Saturday, I really felt like you just spoke that to me, Lord. Leon was speaking, but the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father inside of me. By the way, there's three in there, so let's just go ahead and get that out there. Resonated that on the inside of me. And faith was built on the inside of me. Because I'm hearing his word. I just love that it was Dr. Leon's words. He's partnering with Dr. Leon, and he's changing my life. I submit to you that our lives are being changed on a regular basis. We're moving from glory to glory. There's not a day that goes by that God has not ordained encounters for you. Every day there are encounters ordained for you to walk in. And I just want to declare over you, you guys are starting to get really good at recognizing those times. Wow, that's an encounter with God right there. We were getting on the elevator last night, and we couldn't get on because Michaela was cleaning the elevator. She said, "I'll be done in just a minute." And so we were patient because, you know, that's our character. We're patient. It's the truth. We have the Spirit, the character of the Spirit of God on the inside of her. We are patient. Yes. And so I just said, "Hey, what's your story?" I think I asked her, "Are you a grandmother?" She said, "Yes, I am." "How many grandkids do you have?" And she hesitated. And she said, "Six. But she had one that had passed away." And so this God encounter is unfolding now. She opened her heart and let us in a little bit there. And so I just gently began to encourage her how that God was caring for that, caring for her broken heart as a result of this one son who had gotten killed, I think. And I just tried to encourage her. And all that just to say, that was a God moment. And so I don't know what that actually did on the inside of her. But I'll bet it's more than what I saw. Because he's always doing things way beyond what we can ask or think, yeah? All right. Now, in chapter 17, I want to take you there, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Chapter 17, let's read 17. Now, you know that this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He first begins to pray for himself, then he begins to pray for his disciples, right? If you're a disciple, would you say amen? But then he begins to pray for all those that would believe. And look in verse 20, it says this: "I don't pray for these alone. I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they may be one." Would everybody please say one? "As you, Father, and I." Sorry, "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us. Would you say the Trinity is one? They're one. Did you know that we have the calling to be one as the Trinity is one? I love that. And that's in Jesus' prayer. He gets his prayers answered. Somebody say amen. But here's the end to that. That the world may believe that you sent me. The way we love one another matters, yeah? Not only just tolerate one another, but to actually understand we're called to be one with one another. How can that even be possible? Dr. Leon was sharing today about this, and he was saying, well, it's like this. It's when we know each other by the Spirit and not by the flesh. You know me by the flesh, you might not even like me because I don't have the personality that you like. You know what I mean? Some people don't like me because our personalities don't jive. They know me after the flesh. But when you know me after the Spirit, all of a sudden, we start moving closer and closer to becoming one. So I think that was brilliant that we just know one another. We don't even know Jesus after the flesh anymore. I love that 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. But John said that after Jesus had been resurrected and is back in heaven in the glory of his, before he came to earth, that glory he returned to. So he says, as Jesus is in his resurrected, ascended, and sitting on the throne self, that's as he is, so are we. How can he say that? The Apostle Paul said this. He says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's part of that whole idea of being in Christ and Christ being in us. And that's the whole gist of the message this morning, guys. I want us to walk away today saying, wow, it's a big deal that there are two things happening in my life. One is, he is in me. And the other is, I am in him. One is a personal, God is working on you personally to reveal all that he did for you when you said yes to Jesus. He's working inside of us to reveal just who we are. And that's Christ in me. But when I'm in Christ, now I'm taking on his assignment as well, which is covering the earth with the glory of God. So he's ruling and he's reigning from his throne in heaven, but he has us as his ambassadors and his emissaries to rule and to reign in this life. I love what Paul said in Romans 5, I think it's verse 17, that says that through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we're called to reign in this life through the one, Christ Jesus. So, me being in him means that I get to reign on the earth. I get to actually, and who do we reign over? Do we reign over people? No, people aren't the problem. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, big ruling demons, little ruling demons. They're who we get to rule over. Jesus said in Matthew 16, after he had said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, you know, named a bunch of dead people. I don't want to be disrespectful, but that's what they did. There, men in that society were saying, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Now, isn't that an amazing question? This is the way he said it, though. He said, "Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am?" And Jesus, Peter answers and he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So he says, Jesus said, "Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am?" He says, "You are the Son of God," which is true. It's the truth. And he didn't even get that revelation on his own. He said, "The Father's revealed this to you." But he went on to say this. This is what he said. He said, "I'm going to build something, guys. I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm giving you the keys to this kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's what it means to reign. When you come into a situation where you can tell this is not a heavenly situation happening here. There's some demonic activity going on in this room. Just hear the jingling of the keys and going, "Okay, why don't you do something about it?" Say, just turn like this and go, "I take authority over every wicked spirit in this place right now. I want you to know that Ray Goolsbee is here." In the name of Jesus Christ, he deputized me. And I say, stop it now in the name of Jesus. We pray in tongues, you know, that's, oh, they hate that. Spirits hate that. They're going, "What did he say?" We don't know. And then you loose the glory of God. God, you have a purpose for this. This is a moment where you want to rule and you want to reign. I just loose your presence now here. Do you know when you walk into the room, every spirit knows it because you glow. You glow in the dark. And so when you walk in, they see. And they go, headaches for the enemy. You have the keys. You're called to rule and to reign. So I felt like this morning what we'd do is we'd just make a little bit of an acknowledgement of that we are radically favored sons and daughters of his. That we are way more than what we appear to be or what we think we are, but we are becoming conformed to his image. There's a primary purpose on your life, and that is to discover all that God has done inside of you. That you are being conformed to the image of Christ in every circumstance of your life. The good ones and the bad ones. You know, James said, you know, when you encounter trials, count it joy. Why? Because all of your trials, all of your disappointments, all of your struggles are in Christ. If you're in Christ, all of those struggles are in Christ as well. Come on. That's where you are. You're there for eternity. And so if you're struggling with it, you're struggling with it in Christ. And Christ is in you. So now all of a sudden, this struggle, this chaos, this disappointment, this they've stabbed me in the back, they're talking bad about me, something happened, somebody died, something's going wrong. All of that. Now, I actually have more authority in that situation than I think. that I'm a representative of him, and all I need to do is have him show me what he wants to do and say to me what he wants to say. Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's pray, intercede, rebuke, bind, loose, do the thing. Sometimes it's speak out loud, declare truth, release hope in every situation. But if you're going through something, you can have joy, because that thing is actually intended to produce something greater than what was going on before it started to happen. You're radically favored, sons and daughters. So why don't we stand together? And I just want to pray over you. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down in a minute. Not yet. But I want to ask the prayer team. So I want to pray, and I want us to just sort of set up our hearts here. I want to set up our hearts. And I want us to invite the Holy Spirit to come in to do something radical on the inside of us today. This has been a life-transforming a conference that we've had. We called it Heaven and Earth Conference. What is going on in heaven is radically changing what's going on the earth. And you're a big part of it. You know, I want to drop this on you. You know that God never plays defense? He's only playing offense, and he always has the ball, and he's always advancing it down the field. The enemy, on the other hand, only plays defense, and he would like for you to believe that he's on offense. You need to do something because the devil's doing blah, 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 blah. No, the devil, if you see something happening, it's because he's reacting to what God's doing. True. That's a lot of times you can figure out what God's doing by seeing what the enemy's doing. Just look in the opposite spirit and you'll find, war is broken out in the Middle East. Wow. Peace must be on the move. He said, of the increase of my government and peace, there will be no end. So when the enemy gets backed into the corner, he starts scrambling to do something because he's playing defense. So I just want to release over you now something. I feel like that the Lord is saying this. He's saying something is about to happen that wouldn't otherwise have happened if we didn't pray this prayer, if we didn't have this time right now. So let's get our hearts ready and tuned. Boy, Dr. Leon's message last night on faith just put me in another realm of faith right now. I'm just like a believer monster right now. All right, let's pray. If you could, let's just hold our hands before us, because you're about to receive something that's radical. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you did through Jesus Christ, that he came here and he lived and he showed us what it was like to have you living on the inside of a man, and what's possible, that he conquered at every point. He was tempted at all points like we were, yet he did not sin. You showed the power of your life in us over sin. You showed the inferiority of this unbelieving curse that visited the earth, where we believe a lie and then we act on it. That's my new definition for sin, is believing a lie and then acting on it. Lord, thank you that you showed us that you on the inside of us have given us ascendancy over all of that. That the power of sin has been completely broken by your blood. Through your resurrection. Hallelujah. I just feel like right now, right in this moment right now, some of you heard something come up on the inside of you and said, yes, that works for others, but it's not going to work for you in this area. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what that, obviously, but you know, there are areas in our lives that we still need to be conquered. They're internal areas. There's just lies that we've believed. I can't stop doing these drugs. That's a lie. You're destined to be drug-free. Pornography has a grip on my life. That may be true that it's happening, but the truth is much higher than that, and that is that that is not a part of your life. That is not, you were not created to be enslaved to pornography. It's a lie. We need to stop believing it. Disempower it by believing and trusting in the promise of God that you have made me free. So some of those lies, you know what they are. Take them captive right now. Take them captive. They're going to obey Jesus now. So Lord, we thank you that right now is a freedom moment. Right now you're infusing us, injecting us with hope, with faith. Some of you are receiving assignments now. The thing that God has been speaking on the inside of you, he's resonating now saying, you do have what it takes to do that thing that I've called you to do. So Lord, I just pray in Jesus' mighty name that the power of hope, the power of faith, the power of the finished work of the cross of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, the power of the promises of God that are yes and amen to every one of us is released now in the name of Jesus. Just receive it. Just receive it right now. Just receive it. Just say yes to it. Just say yes. Yes, Lord, I receive that. Because things are being conquered on the inside of you. Ground is being taken back in Jesus' name. And you're going to walk out of here changed forever because of the power of God. So Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your grace. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Love you. Just begin to tell him how much you love him, if you would. And Rachel, if you wouldn't mind, could you play that amazing instrument? Oh, the devil just said, no, don't do that. Not her, not now. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing on the inside of us. I want to ask the prayer team to just start to make their way down. Lord, this is a holy moment. Holy moment. Holy moment. We're being infused with more power, more truth that's going to take us to the next level. You, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Lord, let your truth come. I see dump trucks backing up with truth full. Deep, 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 deep. Dumping truths from heaven into your heart. Now, I just want to declare that if you're dealing with something in your life that you've struggled to overcome, I'm just declaring, I'm deputizing these prayer warriors. I need probably just a couple more to come up. Anybody that is a faith person, yeah, here we go. I'm deputizing you. Yeah, thank you. to be able to break the power of sins, that is, believing lies and acting upon them. Those things are going down today. So I'm deputizing you in the name of Jesus. He's deputizing you. He's just using my words. And so if you want prayer for a situation in your life that either you haven't been able to get victory over, or somebody that's very close to you has struggled to get victory over, I believe that God is going to do miraculous things this morning. So if you would just begin to make your way down to the front and let one of these amazing deputized prayer warriors pray over you. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he knew that today was going to be your day. And he's speaking to your heart right now. He's thundering on the inside of you. Go ahead, today's your day. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus. I want you to make your way down here. Let's see. Is Max? I thought I saw you. Is Max here? I was actually going to, I was going to ask. Yeah. Hey, Max. Okay. If you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus and you want to do that, Max, I saw that you were the person to see. So if you want to make your way down here. I want you to talk to Max if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So amen. So Lord, powerful things are happening right now. We're grateful. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Pastor Kathy.